Welcome to An Orderly Account with Pastor John Stews, where, from the book of Acts, we're learning how the Holy Spirit of God is filling the earth with the kingdom of Jesus. All are welcome to join us for worship at Church of the King, each Lord's Day at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We celebrate family integrated worship with the hearty singing of psalms and hymns, the proclamation of God's Word, and weekly communion. Go online to orderlyaccount.com to learn more about us. Now, here's Pastor John Stews.
We will remain standing this morning for the reading of God's Word. Our reading will bring us to the close of the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. And when Paul had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent much time there, he departed and went to the region of Galatia and Phrygia, in order strengthening all of the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. And so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross over to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. And he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. At the end of chapter 18 and the beginning of chapter 19, Luke leaves Paul in the early part of his third missionary journey to tell us of some of the disciples of John and a man who was apparently taught by some of the disciples of John, like them, who we will study this morning. Now, we must remember again that as we study Luke's orderly account, he is primarily giving us the story of how the Spirit of God is filling the earth with the kingdom of Jesus. While much of Acts focuses on the ministries of Peter and Paul, at the same time we need to remember that the other disciples of Jesus were at the same time carrying out his command to be his witnesses out to all corners of the world. So there is much more taking place at this period of history than just what we see in the book of Acts. After the death of Stephen, the church was scattered, and you would have had stories like this account of Apollos taking place all over the known world. Now, the disciples of John also scattered. They basically broke down into three different groups or paths. Some, like Peter and Andrew or John and James, became the disciples of Jesus. Some came to wrongly believe what John himself denied, teaching that John the Baptist was in fact himself the Messiah. And still others continued to minister as John did, proclaiming the coming of the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, without fully understanding all that happened with the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. So with that in mind, we see Luke introducing us to a man named Apollos. Now, a certain Jew, we read in verse 24, named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. Luke tells us that Apollos is a Jewish man who came from the cultural center of Alexandria. His education there produced an eloquent man who had studied his lessons well as a young Jewish boy. He knew his Bible well. Luke tells us that Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures. Now, I think this is more than the fact that he would have had vast portions of the Scriptures memorized, which is a very good thing and something that we encourage our covenant children and the rest of you adults as well to attain and to work at. I think this means more than the fact that he could speak well when presenting the Scriptures and their truths, though he certainly was an eloquent man. The image is one is of one who speaks with authority, knowing the Scriptures well, able to communicate them well, and soundly proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord." We should have in our minds the image of the warrior pictured in Ephesus chapter 6, wielding the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Luke then goes on to tell us a little more about Apollos. This man had been instructed, we read in verse 25, in the way of the Lord, and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Now this might seem a little confusing, but it provides a very important lesson for us today. We need to know that we do not need to know everything there is to know about the Bible to be mighty in the Scriptures. Look carefully at what Luke tells us. Apollos had been instructed in the way of the Lord. This may well have come from one of the disciples of John, since Luke tells us that he knew only the baptism of John. It also says that Apollos was fervent in spirit. I think we cannot help but remember the new convert here, the one who does not yet know much about the systematics, but he or she knows that he loves Jesus and that Jesus has changed his life. He is fervent about sharing the good news. It also tells us that Apollos spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Obviously, from the event that follows, Apollos had more to learn about the way of the Lord, but he was still teaching what he knew accurately. He did not add or subtract from what he had learned from the Scriptures and learned from whoever brought him to the Messiah. And finally, Apollos applied what he knew, sharing the good news, not hiding the light that he had under a bushel. Because in verse 26 we read, "So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue." The Lord is going to use Apollos in a mighty way in the city where Jesus told Paul that he had many people, the city of Corinth, there in the area that he went. But before he sends him there, he is going to continue his instruction with saints who had spent at least 18 months with the Apostle Paul in Corinth. Again, we read in verse 26, "When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." Now, as we think about that verse, I think we need to consider two important questions that should arise in our minds. The first being, how did Aquila and Priscilla approach and teach Apollos? And the second, what did they explain more accurately? Now, I heard that, and he proves my point. Because of these two questions, we are certainly, especially as rather Gnostic Americans, more interested in the second question. We want to know all the details about what Apollos needed to learn. We want to know what he had been teaching in the synagogue and what was lacking. Well, we will be pretty disappointed because Luke gives us no details whatsoever. The only hint that we are given is the comment about Apollos knowing only the baptism of John. So he was obviously missing some of the later things that happened with Jesus. However, Luke tells us that he spoke and taught accurately in terms of what he did know. And Aquila and Priscilla take him aside to teach him more. Now, we could go the way of some of the liberal commentators and say that, wow, Luke really messed up here. I mean, he should have given more details. I mean, what a silly oversight on his part. Think about all the debates and discussions that have raged down through the centuries about what the details were that could have been avoided if Luke had simply provided a little bit more information. Now, the only problem with that kind of thinking, and the liberals never seem to have this bother them, is that we need to remember it was the Holy Spirit who guided Luke into what needed to be said and what needed to be left out. But we do have in this verse the details of the first question of how Aquila and Priscilla corrected Apollos. And perhaps, just perhaps, that is where the Spirit wants us to focus. In fact, I would argue that this single verse is a very important verse for our particular day and age. You see, I'm confident that God's Word, because it is a living Word, does work in such ways. Having timeless truths that never change, that are in place for special emphasis in certain times and places to focus on. I know that many of us have experienced that in our own lives, where there are just times where particular verses become extremely meaningful or challenging to us. And I believe that this text is such a place for the church in America today. When you consider the individualistic underpinnings of our nation and the many denominational divisions that we have today in the church, the very body of Christ, I think we need to pay special attention to how this wise couple handled this particular situation. Actually, there are important lessons from both sides of this relationship for us to learn. As we've already touched on, Luke tells us that Apollos spoke and taught accurately using the information and knowledge that he had. Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures, eloquent in his speech, fervent in his spirit, and able to teach the things of the Lord accurately. If he only knew the baptism of John, he was missing something important in the rest of the ministry of Jesus. I personally think that it was the ascension of Jesus to the Father's right hand and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Apollos did not fully understand the story that Luke is revealing here in the book of Acts, that the Spirit would glorify Jesus by filling the earth with His kingdom. So the first lesson for our times is that many, many who may not understand all there is to know about God's story of salvation can still be mighty in the Scriptures, fervent in spirit, and teach what they do know accurately. Now, let's consider the reaction of the godly couple from the other side. They hear Apollos preaching boldly in the synagogue, and it is immediately clear to them that he does not know the whole story. Luke tells us that they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Please notice that they did not interrupt his preaching and tell the attending Jews that Apollos did not know the whole story. Please notice that they did not attack Apollos and declare him to be a heretic. And also notice that they did not simply shrug their shoulders and move on to hear people who knew the gospel better. Now, sadly, it is much more likely to be one of these three ways that we would treat someone today who we thought lacked all of the doctrinal understanding they needed to explain the way of God. May we learn to be those who rightly and quietly take people aside when we have such concerns. And brothers and sisters, I can assure you that calling someone out on Facebook or a blog does not count. I can't imagine the hours that have been wasted in the kingdom of God with debates and divisions that have gone on back and forth with all of the new tools and fun things that we have, because we have failed to follow this simple biblical example of taking someone aside and saying, have you considered this from the Scriptures? There's an important lesson to learn from Apollos' reaction as well. Remember, Apollos is a Jewish man, a man who has learned not only his Scriptures, but to be an eloquent man who is mighty in the Scriptures, in one of the great intellectual capitals of the world in that day, Alexandria. He is preaching boldly and accurately, presenting what he knows, and along comes a couple of tent makers who want to take him aside and correct what he is doing. What reaction might we expect? Again, I think it is critical to see that Luke gives us no details about what was said about his doctrine. What Luke does tell us is how Aquila and Priscilla approach Apollos and the fact that Apollos listened and continued to grow in the Lord. God then opens up new doors of ministry, and Apollos is highly recommended by the saints there at Ephesus to move on to the region of Corinth. Listen to verse 27. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And then Luke ends the account with a type of chiastic structure, returning to the power of Apollos' speech and his ability to show from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Brothers and sisters, I truly hope and pray that we will take these important lessons to heart, especially in our day and age where we have so many divisions in the body of Christ. May we be those who learn how to take someone aside and quietly help them to understand more about the ways of God and give them the space, time, and patience that we often require to learn the lessons that God would teach. May we be those also who are humble enough to know that we never arrive at a full understanding of all that God can teach us, and thus be ready and willing to be instructed by those who would take us aside and show us the way of God more accurately. You see, as an example, we as reformers can look at Baptists and say, they are missing so much of the covenant blessings that God offers. But do we approach them as Aquila and Priscilla did with Apollos? Think about it this way. Are we more focused on the details of the doctrinal differences than we are on how to handle the relationships with our brothers and sisters? Now, I'm sure that someone could and might take this out of context and say that I'm teaching that doctrine is not as important as relationships. But know that both are vital. And I would simply point out that in this case, Luke certainly puts the stress on the relationship and leaves out all the details about the doctrine. We are commanded to speak the truth in love, so we do need both right doctrine and right relationships. And there is certainly a ditch that many liberals have crashed into long ago where doctrine has been ignored and all they have left are some mushy kumbaya sessions. However, here in America, in the evangelical church, most of us have gone so far off the road in the other direction, in the ditch of doctrinal disputes destroying relationships, that we have an awful long way back before we are in danger of even getting close to the ditch that the liberals are in. This is why I think this particular passage speaks so strongly to our day and age. And finally, I do want to encourage our covenant children and all the rest of us to be serious about being mighty in the Scriptures. And just what does that mean? Consider the example again of Apollos. Luke tells us that he was a Jew, so he would have been raised in a covenant home and have been familiar with the Scriptures. You are being raised in covenant homes, and I trust that you are becoming very familiar with the Scriptures. Here at church, at home, and even in your schooling, you need to be learning the great truths that are given to us in the Bible. You need to learn about the great saints who have gone before, as we considered last week. And you should be memorizing lots of Scripture. And children, do it while you're young. It is so much easier. We're also told that Apollos was an eloquent man. You are called upon to not only know the Scriptures, but to be able to present them in an intelligent and pleasing way. A great speech poorly delivered is no longer a great speech. This includes how you speak, your vocabulary, your dress, and your manners. All of those practical things matter when it comes to being eloquent. So please listen to your parents and others when they try to teach you such good habits. And finally, we are told that Apollos was instructed in the way of the Lord, that he was able to teach the things of God accurately. This is not just about how much knowledge Apollos had. Remember, he didn't have the whole story. And it is not just about his delivery or his debating skills, his eloquence. This is about knowing Jesus. Remember the scribes and the Pharisees? They knew lots and lots of scriptures. They had entire books of the Old Testament memorized. They attended all of the religious ceremonies. They kept all of their man-made laws, and they could debate with the best of them. They thought they could even debate with the Son of God. But what did Jesus tell them to their face? We read it in John chapter 5, beginning at verse 39. You, looking at the scribes and Pharisees, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come from in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do you not think that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you had believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? This book is not a textbook. It's not a seminary book. This is the Word of God. It reveals God's Son and His great salvation. Being mighty in the Scriptures means first and foremost that we see Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, we see Jesus everywhere in God's Word. Being mighty in the Scriptures means that we must know how to rightly divide the Word of truth so that we can present the way of God more accurately. This is a lifetime project, so we are ever learning and ready to learn from whoever God chooses to use. And finally, being mighty in the Scriptures means knowing how to use the Bible as the sword of the Spirit as we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will bring all the nations of the earth under His command before the end of history. May we all desire and learn to be mighty in the Scriptures. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do give You thanks for Your Word. We give You thanks for the revelation that it has given us about Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for the great salvation that we have in Him. May we be those who more and more accurately share the way, the truth, and the light. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
Amen. Thank you for listening to An Orderly Account from Church of the King in Roseville. Pastor John Stews will continue to encourage you in this series next week at the same time. Church of the King welcomes any interested individuals, couples, or families to join us Sunday mornings at 11 for worship at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We're a pro-life, pro-family church, preaching the Word and celebrating communion each week. To learn more about us, visit us at orderlyaccount.com or call 916-451-5660.